Let's open our Bible, shall we, to the book of Genesis chapter 18. The readings will be verses 9 through verse 15. Tickled pink on this Mother's Day. "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself, "After I become shriveled up and my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son.'" Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, because she was afraid. But he replied, "No, you did laugh." Tickled pink. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we rejoice in this gorgeous day that you've given us, Lord, that we have received sufficient rain and nourishing of the earth, Lord. And now, Father, we can honor these women that we love, that we adore, and that we greatly appreciate. Now, Father, tickle us pink today. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. A doctor entered the room of a patient in the hospital and informed him, "I'm sorry, but I must remove your leg." The next day, he performed the amputation. Afterward, he visited with the patient with some good news and bad news. Bad news first, "I took off the wrong leg." Good news, the other leg is getting better. There were three drunken men who checked into the Hotel New Yorker. They were assigned rooms on the 45th floor. They went out for the night and came back in a worse state than before. The clerk at the lobby desk informed them, "I'm sorry, but the elevator's broke. You have to walk up." Then the clerk said, "Well, we'll set up cots on the mezzanine floor and you can sleep there. "No," said the first drunk, "we'll walk up. The first 15 floors, I will sing. The second 15 floors, my friend will tell funny stories. The last 15 floors, my other friend will tell sad stories." They started up the 15 floors, songs. The next 15 floors, funny stories. Then they said to the third man, "To begin, tell your sad stories." He said, quote, "I forgot the key." Finally, a 7-year-old boy who had never spoken a word in his life. The parents did everything they could, but with no avail. One morning at breakfast, he said, quote, "This cocoa is cold." They said, "Why didn't you talk before this?" He said, "Well, up to now, everything was okay." Well, being a mother's not easy, but it does bring a lot of laughter to life. Perhaps a Mother's Day card that would place a smile on the face of a mother is the following. "Mom, I can never repay you for everything you've given me, including the $700 I'm about to ask for." Tickled pink. Our text here in Genesis chapter 18 has the resemblance of divine comedy. There's laughter, there's lying, and there's the Lord's rebuttal, an extraordinary exchange that he has with a woman by the name of Sarah. Sarah was tickled pink. 89 years old, and she overhears a conversation that the Lord had with her husband, informing him that this time next year, your wife will bring forth a son. Look at verses 12 through 14. So she laughed to herself, "After I become shriveled up and my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why does Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you. In about a year, she will have a son.'" Amid much laughter, the first thing I want you to jot down is point number one is this. Motherhood is a high honor. In chapter 17, Abraham, he laughs within himself when God informs him at the age of 99 and his wife at the age of 89, a year later, your wife is going to have a baby. Then in chapter 18, Sarah overhears the conversation, and she laughs to herself regarding this. But the question is, Why is it that God wasn't laughing? You see, their laughter was the laughter of unbelief, of disbelief, and of shock. You see, God was not laughing because his intent is never to embarrass us. For Abraham and Sarah to have a child so late in life, it would signify a birth that's miraculous. Only God could do such a thing. It would signify that God is a covenant-keeping God. He delivers on his promises. It would signify to all God does great work in and through us, even when many think that he's through with us. And it would signify that God can renew our strength. Let the church say amen. You see, God was not only offering hope to Abraham and Sarah, but he's offering hope to all of us here today. Is there anything too hard for God? Let there be the laughter of faith. Let there be the laughter of joy. Let there be the laughter of thanksgiving. Laugh with your children. Have burrows of fun with your children. But don't laugh at God's plans and purposes for your children. You see, mothers, will you allow God to tickle you pink on today? You say, what do you mean? Ladies, are you open to having a child or children via birth or adoption? But there's a second thing I want you to notice about tickle pink. A mother can read a child's mind, but God can read your mind. Moms may be smart, but God is smarter. See, moms, you may know a lot about your child, but God knows everything. He hears what you don't hear, he sees what you don't see, and he never makes a mistake. Therefore, motherhood should never be a solo act. Don't be overtaken with feelings of being overwhelmed. This child is a handful. This child is making me bonkers. I'm going crazy. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I just can't do this any longer. Listen, motherhood was never intended to be a solo act. You see, the child is from God. The child is for God, and God will help you along the way with the child. Let the church say amen. You see, the Lord can cause the child's life to blossom in such a beautiful way that it will cause you to blush when your child's name is mentioned. You see, in chapter 18, God supplies us with the child of promise, the child that Abraham and Sarah ought to have. But when you read just a few verses down, we go from a child of promise to the fate of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, what do you mean? You see, you go from a child of promise to men of perversity. For we know that the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were overrun with homosexuality. And God is letting us know this in a very subtle way, that listen, whether it's your children or my children, your grandchildren or my grandchildren, your children are just steps away from perversity. So what is it that God wants mothers to do? Mothers, as you live a sanctified, honorable, holy life before God, the sanctifying grace of God is now extended to your children. That God begins to place a wall around your children, a hedge around your children, that he begins to protect your children because unbeknownst to you, just a few steps yonder are the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Your children are just steps away from perversity. And the Lord, the incarnate Christ, and two angels, they had met with Abraham, and now they let him know, we must go to those twin cities. And now he leaves a child of promise to deal with men of perversity. Ladies, mothers, it's important how you live before your children. It's a difficult thing to be a single mother, a young mother in particular, especially if you have a young son. You see, you have your desire for courtship, you have your desire for dating, and that's understandable, and that's natural, and that's to be expected. But you must understand that your young son has a jealous heart for you. He doesn't want to share you with no one. And if you would, when you bring a man into that residence, that he doesn't know, whom he is not acquainted with, don't necessarily think that he's going to warm up to him. Why? Your son may be a mere 6 years old, 7 years old, but in his mind, he is the apple of your eyes. In his mind, he is the man of the house, though he is 6 or 7 years old. In his mind, he is protecting his mama, and in his mind, he's protecting the property rights of that household, and in his mind, anyone just can't step across the threshold of that home and enter into that home because he is the man, though he's 6 or 7 years old. He doesn't want to share you with anybody. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? You have to be sensitive to the psyche of that young child, of that young male. God has given him a masculine mindset. He is a protector. He is a lover of his mother, and he doesn't just warm up to anybody and everybody. And God forbid, mothers, don't allow that young boy to see you in a compromising position that's not honorable to God, because it can crush his heart. You see, mothers, live a sanctified life so that God can extend his sanctifying grace to your children. But if you are living a life of perversity, you are setting your child up for steps of perversity for them to perform. Because if you can do it, he can do it, or she can do it. Be careful how you live before your children. Let the church say amen. You see, beloved, there's something about authority of the parents that God wants us to be acquainted with, and it's this. God hasn't given you just mere authority. Listen to me. God has given you moral authority. And it's difficult to teach morality if you're living immorally. Therefore, live a sanctified life so God can extend sanctifying grace to your children. You see, God has given children parents because they need guidance. Godly guidance, uncompromising guidance. I am the parent, you are the child guidance. Guidance of God's promises, God's purposes, and God's power. Mother, sometimes being the parent God has called you to be means that you will be unlike, unpopular, and unappreciated, but God always proves himself, and you will always nevertheless be loved and respected by that same child who questions your judgment. You see, beloved, God hasn't called us to be popular. God has called us to be right. Let the church say amen. And we're to raise our children the right way. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Thank God for friendship with our children. But before friendship, there must be parenthood. In other words, you have to remain the parent. You have to be the adult in the room. Because God has called you to be such. And oh, beloved, you have to exercise discernment. Sometimes schools that are known as being great schools, if you would, can be perverse schools in which all kinds of things are going on that's unbeknownst to you. You see, more important than the mind of your child is the soul of your child. Thank God for good education. Thank God for an excellent education. But I'm here to tell you, without God, your child can simply be an educated criminal. They need more than education. They need God. And they need God first. Let the church say amen. Make sure that you're not trying to compete with others, that you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. No. Stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do with that child. You're not responsible for the child down the street around the corner, the child that belongs to your civic association or your fraternity and the like. No, you're responsible for the child that dwells under your roof that God has birthed in this world through your own womb. That child is not to be like someone else's child, but that child is to be the child that God wants them to be. And if you're not careful, you can dress your child up in the values of this world, the ways of this world that are contrary to the values and the ways of God. Oh, beloved, be true to God. Be a mother that's living a sanctifying life, that God is extending sanctifying grace to your sons and daughters. There may be a mother here today who feels battered and bruised, black and blue. But understand this, that God still has the paintbrush in his hand regarding your life. And he can go to that palette at any time. And if you would, he can paint a new stroke of pink in your life and tickle you pink. Just look at Sarah, 89 years old, and I'm all shriveled up, and I'm about to have a baby. Does God know what he's talking about? No, God knows what he's talking about. Look at chapter 21, notice verses 1 through 7. The Lord came to Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his own old age. Beloved, behold your mother. Those were the words of Jesus on the cross as he spoke to his apostle John. Woman, behold thy son. John, behold your mother. Why did God do all of this? Why would God allow a family to have a child so late in life? Listen to me, beloved. The first man that God brought into this world was made without father or mother. The first woman that was in this world was created without a mother. And now God is going to take a woman whose womb is dead, infertile, menopausal. He's taken a woman whose womb is dead, and he's going to bring forth life, and he's going to bring forth a child from a womb that resembles a tomb. And so it is, it was all preparatory to something else that God was doing. In other words, if God could do these miracles, then God can do even a greater miracle. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth the Messiah. What are you telling me, Pastor? In other words, if God could do the former things, then God could do a new thing through his son, Jesus Christ, who would be born of a woman, not of a man, and that would die upon the cross and be in the tomb for 3 days. But on the third day, out of the tomb of death, God brings forth life. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Sarah. Ultimately, it's about Jesus. It's all preparatory, leading up to a greater event that God would do through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder today, are you willing and ready to behold your mother? Some of you, your mothers are present with God. Do you remember her laughter? You remember her ways? You remember her discipline? You remember her spanking of you? You remember when you would run from her? You remember the times when you knew that your mother was not pleased? Do you remember her generosity? Do you remember her singing? Do you remember her laundry? Do you remember her cooking, preparing meals for you? Do you remember the duties and the sacrifices that she would make for you as though you were the most important person in all of the world? Behold your mother. And what's missing today is that we don't have as many godly mothers as we once had. And the most important thing in this world is for godly mothers. Because if you don't have godly mothers, you're not going to have godly children. Let the church say amen. Thirdly, God reads minds and brings forth joy to the hearts of mothers. You know, a mother in a span of 30 seconds can be a cheerleader, a clown, an actress, and a daughter. And then with the advancement of age, as mother becomes older, her steps shorter, her breath fainter, her eyes and ears dimmer, there is one thing that will perk her up like nothing else. The mere sight of a baby, a small child, and her heart is tickled pink all over again. For a mother, there is nothing more profound nor nothing more beautiful than a small child. You see, moms, at the end of the day, you are participants in God's redemptive plan, and that God in his sovereignty and his omniscience, he has chosen to bring new souls into the world through your womb. And you see, the man is not without the woman, and the woman is never without the man. God has chosen you to have a pivotal part in his plan of salvation. That when Jesus' disciples forsook him, the women were still standing at the cross with him. There's something about the duty, the fidelity, the loyalty of a woman that supersedes in many instances that of a man. Most women, they have a compassion and an empathy, and they have an emotion and an attachment and a bond that's easily made more so than a man. And God has made you, and God has designed you to love him and to love his creation and to love his children and to nurture them into the image and spiritual formation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers, you are of immense importance to the work of God. You are partners with the Holy Spirit, and we salute you today. There's some of you, you've had a number of miscarriages. Perhaps you've had a child that had a sudden infant death syndrome. You say, Pastor Bob, I can't fathom such a thing. Well, would God allow such a thing to happen? Listen to me, beloved, and understand this well. The worth and the impact of a life cannot be determined by the mere measurement of time. The worth and the impact of life cannot be determined by the mere measurement of time. There may be an infant that only lived a few minutes and died. And yet that child's impact upon the life of the mother, the father, the extended families, and others may have more of a substantial impact than someone else that lives 100 years. In other words, it's God's sovereign will how long we live, how short we live. But one thing's for sure, regardless of how long or how short, you are immense value and worth to God. And God's impact is not constrained by time nor space. So what I'm trying to tell you is this, whether your child lives a long time or a little time, God knows what he's doing. You see, beloved, God can use the weakest, the frailest, and even those who pass so soon for his honor and for his glory. Therefore, their life was not in vain in the Lord. Let the church say amen. Their life was not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, mothers, whether bereaved of a child, let it be known, this is as much your day than all the other mothers present. Whether your child be living or whether your child be present with the Lord, you performed your duty before God, and God will reward you in that day for what you did for his creation. your sons and your daughters. Therefore, we say to all the mothers here today, both young and old, mothers, happy Mother's Day, and may God tickle you pink. Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all stand, shall we, as we look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for how you could tickle pink an 89-year-old woman and a man that was 99 years old and bring forth such color, such splendor, such beauty into their lives through their son Isaac, whose name means laughter. And so, Father, we thank you for the laughter and the joy that children bring to our lives. That, Lord, they can take the mundane and make it full of life, full of joy, just to behold their simplicity, their innocence, and their worth and value that you've assigned to their lives. So, Father, we thank you for our parents here today, both fathers and mothers, and godparents as well. And now, Father, we pray that we would parent well, because, Lord, you've been such a good father to us. Now, Father, bless us even today and tickle us pink. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen.